Thanks, guys. It's a pleasure to be here and with you guys. I'm sorry about, I'm just recovering from a cold, so a little bit hoarse. So I'm going to talk about a project that I did in between my first and second years of medical school in a neighborhood called South Boston, and I have nothing to disclose. And so the goals of this project was to both understand the use of community-based participatory research in thinking about environmental justice issues, in particular the role that it can play in engaging youth, to highlight some of the environmental justice issues that are at play in the community in South Boston, where the youth that I worked with live, and to help them develop a topic that was directed from them that they would research. We explored the use of Google Earth for sort of an interactive community mapping program, and then discussed some of the strengths and challenges of the program, and just engaging in university community partnerships in general and addressing the social determinants of health. So this is history that many of you know, and I won't, and is much more complicated, but to understand the role of environmental justice and community-based participatory research, sort of the seminal text in environmental justice came out in 1990. It was by Dr. Bullard, and it was Dumping in Duck in Dixie, and it sort of talked about the systematic dumping in that community. And then several years later was the first community academic response, where they formed the National Institute for Environmental Health Sciences, formed the Environmental Partnership for Communication, and they really identified that in order to do this type of work, you would have to, you could bring together community organizations and those sort of more traditionally in universities that had skills such as an environmental health researcher and healthcare professional, and they established this community-based participatory research program, which they defined as an approach that promotes active community involvement in the processes that shape research and intervention strategies, as well as in the conduct of studies. They initially funded about 30 projects. In the last decade, there's over 80 community campus partnerships that have developed, but really a small fraction of them engage youth, and there's, despite sort of many successes, and this is a busy slide, but to highlight kind of the goals of what you get when you actually engage communities and develop a partnership, is that it's an opportunity to develop leadership, participation, sort of skills and resources that can flow both ways between the community and university, create new networks and partnerships, and to develop sort of power within the community, and also a sense of shared values that's sort of critical for people to produce these outcomes, as sort of the distal outcome being improved environmental health, but thinking about all the skills that they can gain along the way. But how do you use these tools to engage youth? As many times young people were kind of used as the labor for community, for environmental justice efforts, but what did they gain from the process? So the goal of this project was both to think about environmental health and justice issues in South Boston. I'll talk a little bit more about what that community is like in a second. To partner with the youth to understand how their built environment contributes to or exacerbates the health disparities in their community. And to develop leadership skills amongst them to think about community engagement in this close-knit community that has been really changing over the last several decades, and then collaborate with a couple groups that have been doing this work for much longer than I have in that community. So just to give you a little bit of the population demographics of South Boston, it's about 5% of the Boston population, with a population of 35,000. This is some census data from 1990 and 2000, and just to highlight that, and it continues to sort of change, the population historically is predominantly white. You probably would best know about the community from it being highlighted in movies like Good Will Hunting or The Departed or Whitey Bulger, and thinking about mobs. But in the last several decades, it's really changing quite a bit. The percentage rise between Black or African American and Hispanics are going up. It's extremely rapid rates, and the number of whites in the population is decreasing. So our small program had 19 participants. They were aged 9 to 17. About 75% of them lived in public housing projects in South Boston. What's unique about South Boston is that it has one of the highest percentages of actual public housing space in Boston compared to some of the other neighborhoods. So what's interesting is actually as the community has begun to gentrify, which is one of the topics that we addressed, the sort of disparity in income and access is actually going to increase instead of just sort of the traditional moving out, because those public housing projects are not going at the moment. About 65% of the kids in the group were born in South Boston. It's a community that's got several generations of families often living together in one home. But a couple of them were also born outside the United States. And if you actually take a look at the pie graph down below of the racial breakdown of the students that I worked with, it much more sort of reflected that changing demographic. So what did we do? I'm not sure if you guys can see these the sessions, but basically there were two stages of this program. And the first stage was really just about education and awareness of what is environmental justice and what does it mean for you guys in your community. We had some activists who've done work in South Boston for a number of years come and sort of tell them about the history in their community and what they should be proud of and what they still are struggles that need to get worked on. And then we talked about some topics that are sort of very much rooted in the environmental justice literature and have been explored by youth at sort of a neighboring program across town called the Roxbury Environmental Empowerment Program, who really helped us a lot with the production of this curriculum and thinking about what are the availabilities to green space and safe space and how does that differ across different areas of the city. Where are the tobacco advertisements? Where are the alcohol advertisements? And how does that compare to different spaces in Boston? What are the impacts of air pollution, and particularly in thinking about the high rates of asthma in South Boston? What happens in terms of the alcohol and illicit drug use? And then a topic that we ended up spending a fair amount of time on was gentrification and what does it mean for these youth to be growing up in a neighborhood that's changing and they feel as though their spaces are being occupied in different ways and they're no longer welcome. Also talked about the impact of housing and health and then access to fresh foods and vegetables. And so from those 12 sessions, we spent a lot of time talking about what actually mattered most to the youth. And after each session, they would sort of say what they liked, what they didn't like, what they cared about. And aside from sort of the gentrification issue, the thing that really was most frustrating to them was the issue of tobacco use in their community. And so what they decided to do in terms of thinking about a project to study is they, in terms of a visual representation of the amount of people who smoke in their community, was they looked at the cigarette butt waste on the neighborhood streets and in the public housing communities that they lived in. So we went out on four different occasions, and we broke into several teams looking at different neighborhoods in Boston, sort of the West Broadway business district and two of the housing projects where a lot of them lived. And literally we went and we counted cigarette butts. And these are some of the numbers. And these are some pictures of sort of the effects. And you can just sort of see that this is what kind of the area looks like, taking pictures and some of the trash. Along the way, they were exposed to sort of all the other corporate advertisements that subliminally affect kind of where what they're exposed to, from cigarette ads to alcohol ads to even when we went and stopped for pizza, the other corporate effects of just Pepsi ads. And so what did we do with this? I think often what happens when you get data from community-based participatory research is it then goes back to the university, and the university deals with sort of the several stages of, you know, putting it into complicated data system, SAS or Excel or whatever it is, and then using ArcGIS and these systems that are kind of complicated and removed from really the community level. And so we developed this community mapping approach. And I worked with a graduate student in the Department of Environmental Health at the BU School of Public Health, and he actually led the training about how you, in this case, these youth between ages of 9 and 17 can actually do this mapping and produce their results. And so we spent about 3 hours learning actually how to use Google Earth to do the maps. And then they physically made the maps. And it's a little cumbersome to actually show you the program, so just to show you some of the final maps. They chose sort of the cigarette butts as their marker, and it tells you the magnitude. And what's kind of nice about using Google Earth is you can sort of play around and show exactly where their houses were, and they were labeling the different places where they lived. And so this is one of the housing developments. This was another one. this sort of outlier with an extremely large number of cigarette butts was actually the grandmother of one of the students that were in the program. And then this is sort of the business district. And so I think there were a bunch of lessons that were learned both personally in thinking about how to do this work as I sort of begin my career and thinking about program development and community engagement that the rest of the panel I think is much further along in thinking about. And then also from the youth perspective and how to fully engage them. I learned that South Boston has a rich history of environmental advocacy, and we were able to build on that and some of the work that we were able to teach them, and then also think about the new environmental health challenges that they're experiencing. That our youth were extremely excited and interested in learning more about environmental justice issues and having a space where they could talk about this. I think what a lot of the other presenters have also mentioned is youth just feeling like they don't have a space. Even just having the space where they came together and they fooled around and they joked around, but they also were able to produce something meant a lot for them. And that learning to form research questions, to perform the data collection and the analysis, so sort of that project of the engaging the scientific method from all the way through and not just sort of being a piece of that community-based participatory research was really important, and they were useful skills that the Soviet participants gained. And that actually mapping with Google Earth was an extremely user-friendly way that allowed these youth to be engaged in the whole process. These are a lot of the people that sort of helped along the way.
Great.